92 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Families of Americans released from Russia today say they're excited to finally have them back home. This woman went to the same high school as Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich.
The fact that Evan was able to come home and he's free and he's safe, I just think that's fantastic.
Marine veteran Paul Whelan's also among the Americans released in exchange for 8 Russian prisoners. Sangamon County Sheriff Jack Campbell, whose department's at the center of the fatal shooting of Sonia Massey near Chicago, says the officer who killed her failed to follow training and the law.
We want people like that off the street. He's been arrested and he will pay the price.
Massey was killed in her home last month after calling 911 for help. And Apple has now filed a court motion seeking dismissal of the government's antitrust case. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Apple is saying that the iPhone wouldn't be an Apple product at all if the government prevails. It would have to be completely redesigned and re-engineered.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest polls show Vice President Kamala Harris pulling ahead of Donald Trump in Wisconsin since President Biden dropped out. The Emerson College poll has Harris beating Trump here by 2 points. So does the Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. Wisconsin's fall primary is less than 2 weeks away. Local election officials and voters are learning new ballots, guidelines, and procedures. Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Ann Jacobs says some results may not be known until hours after the polls close.
People should expect, if the race is close, that Milwaukee will be tallying until the early morning hours. And I want people to know that now, so that we don't have these silly rumors and conspiracy theories going on in November.
Jacob speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Rice Lake community is rallying behind one of their own in the Olympics. According to a WEAU report, Rice Lake High School will be hosting a watch party on Sunday to support their very own Kenny Bednarik, who will be competing in the 100-meter semifinal race. Bednarik is competing in both the 100 and 200-meter races in Paris this year. In the 2021 Tokyo Olympics, he won the silver medal in the 200-meter dash. He's taken to social media to praise the community for their support. Hillcrest Estates in Altoona will be getting access to drinking water thanks to community project funding. According to a WEAU report, Hillcrest Estates is the largest mobile home park in the state and has over 500 homes with no access to clean, safe drinking water. Congressman Derek Van Orden visited the park to share that over $2 million in funding is being secured to build a new municipal water distribution system. 2 new wells will be built that will also provide clean water to the city of Altoona. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Another loss at home for the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers scored 2 runs in the bottom of the first and nothing after that. They lose to the Braves 6-2. It's the 4th straight series loss at home for Milwaukee, still holding on to a 5-game lead over St. Louis. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You have to kind of reach down and kind of reassess like where you are personally and not worry about standings and things like that. Worry about playing good.
The Brewers head to Washington to play the Nationals tomorrow night. NFL Packers wide receiver Romeo Dobbs opening some eyes, beating veteran corner Jair Alexander twice for touchdowns. The Wisconsin Badgers continue training camp at UW-Platteville. What's the biggest advantage for head coach Luke Fickell entering year 2? Offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
The difference is, though, we have so many people now, so many players in these rooms that know everything. And so the learning curve this year for the new guys is not what it was last year. You know, we still had coaches learning. I mean, I didn't know the restroom was until April.
That's Phil Longo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A lingering evening shower, then turning partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the low 60s. Sunny, hot, humid tomorrow, a high in the upper 80s to 90. Weekend highs stay well into the 80s with a chance of showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll evaluate the Paris Olympics at the halfway point, talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and this week's media coverage with Mark Jacob.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, talking public education, talking democracy, talking to your neighbor, Johnny Lupinacci. How are you, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm good, Tim, and I love that we're talking. But you know what we're also doing is we're taking action, man.
Yeah, so we are.
Talking, but when we're talking about public education, we're taking action in support of democracy and democratic citizenship, especially as educators. Man, it's always good to be here with you. It's always good to connect with our listeners out there.
Absolutely. You know what's even better, though? Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company because, man, you want to get a great beer? That's where you want to go. It is going to end the parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools in Wisconsin. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Jen, I got to say, you know, we've had some guests recently talk about wanting to get a hold of that Minocqua progressive beer. In fact, Randy Weingarten, president of AFT, I don't know if you caught that in the show where she was in. She was like, I can't wait to get me some of that Minocqua brew. So it's gaining some national attention, my friend.
Well, absolutely, Tim. And you know what's fun about it is we do get to be in Madison from time to time. And you and I definitely convene with the crew.
There we do.
You know, at the studio in Madison, at the studio shop where Jess is and the walk. We also love to spend those days and evenings then at the Minocqua Brewing Company with our guy Kirk and his whole crew and the folks on that side of town. And we get to talk about not only Busted Pencils, but all the great things happening with like-minded folks and folks that aren't as like-minded, because that's politics, man. Having good discussions with people that disagree.
Absolutely.
And remembering that disagreeing isn't a problem. I mean, we could still have solidarity. We can still have strong democracy. In fact, a signifier of a strong democracy is diversity of ideas and people disagreeing. Yeah. However, that disagreement doesn't need to be violent, doesn't need to be, you know, whether it's rhetoric of violence or it's actual physical violence, it doesn't need to be, you know, out of hand. It needs to be emotionally regulated. And you can be angry, and that can be emotional regulation. Like, you could get upset that we disagree, but we have to be in control of that and in a context of like, hey, we do disagree, but together we share some spaces. And so that's been kind of themed throughout the last couple of weeks and months, Tim. You know, like, we're really struggling with that as a nation of grown folks.
Yeah.
And I will put the emphasis on the adults because it is our responsibility. It is absolutely commonplace for teenagers to kind of show emotional dysregulation. It's their job. They're all over the place. I mean, their bodies are figuring out who they are. They're not the same from hour to hour. Maybe if we're lucky, You can have like a full day of everything kind of lined up with young people, but that's their jobs. Their job's to grow into who they're going to become. But those of us grown folks, we got to be modeling better, and we got to be doing better.
That just you, the way you said that, though, I was just thinking, boy, we are, when I say we, the grown folks, as you're pointing out, which will include, we have not been modeling very well lately for our teenagers. And people go, I wonder what's gotten into those kids. It's like, really? You wonder what's gotten into those kids? Take a look around. Look at all of us. Look at the way, you know, not me and Johnny, because we're always in Jess. Model citizens practicing. I don't know, but I mean,
maybe
yeah,
I struggle.
It's but you know, the ability to reflect, look at it, even come back and talk about going, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Right? We don't even see that type of reflection today from today's adults, and so, man, teenagers, you're out there with some passions. Maybe it's time they show us. How to actually behave. I mean, right?
That's pretty much their plan. Every teenager I've talked to, and you remember being there, Tim. I mean, it's been a while for us. But you remember being there and thinking like, oh my God, these grown folks.
Oh.
You know, let's change that, because it wasn't everyone. I mean, I remember times also being like, hey, there are coaches, there are teachers that I've had. There are people within my family or community that I'm like, man, those grown folks get it. Like, they're vibing with us. They're giving us space to move into the world, right? To make some mistakes, but correcting us and leading us, right? Not fearing us, not controlling us. And by us, I mean like that teenage generation, that hope and optimism I have for young people. And I'll even say, for us grown folks, we're kind of missing the boat on another piece too. Like, we want to make way for these young folks because they got some great ideas, and I think they're the future, obviously, whether we like it or not. But in addition to that, I think we've talked about it a few different times on shows recently. You know, it comes up. We talk about childhood, and we talk about, you know, the importance of having a childhood. It also can come with some great privilege, right? Because we know that, like, not everybody has this, the opportunity to be born into.
Right.
And that's literally how lucky you get if you're born into some privilege, right? But aside from that, in general, children, and I'm going to sound like one of those old timers right now, but children these days,
go by for and it, large, Happy.
Have very little opportunity to experience childhood. And so for us adults, one, giving space to them, but also doing our grown work, like let them be children, let them have childhood experiences. They shouldn't be as pressured into choosing a career at 13 years old, you know, tracking and deciding their entire future. I mean, really, nationally, we're talking more and more, you know, Tim, we're in higher ed.
I know it.
But more and more, the higher ed discussion, we're hearing things about, you know, starting college, like early college exam admissions and being done with school. I've had two graduating classes now the last couple of years. And I think COVID played a big role in this, too, because a lot of young people were online and were like, what else am I going to do? I'll go to school. But I will say that I have, you know, college seniors more and more. This is not an outlier. I have like a dozen or so every semester that are graduating with their undergraduate degree at 19, 20 years old. And they're great. They're great young people. They do the work. They've done an awesome job in school, but they started college credits in high school.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of online ways to do this. But I think about, man, when I was 20, and I'm going to get nostalgic a little bit.
Go for it, man.
But I'm also going to lean on what we know, Tim, as educators, that we don't stop developing. And especially when I say we, I mean, Tim, like our gender. Yeah. Like, adult development in males is like 25, 26. We start expecting like.
Wait a minute. I'm like, wait, Jess is going like up. Yeah, 25, 26.
More like 28 to 30.
Yeah, executive functioning fully develops in adult males. And like, so Jess is reminding us like 25 to 30.
So what do I do with my executive functioning right now that seems to be stunted at 57?
Should be peaking, Tim.
Okay, great.
Should be well informed and in a good state. But the thing I'm going to come back to is like at 20 years old, right, with your degree and you're entering the workforce, and you're entering adult life. It's like, I don't think people should be, you know, with how, like, I started working at 14, right? Get workers permit, you start working. It's from a working class community. That's just how it was. So I'm not saying these young people shouldn't work. Right. But it's really hard to think about like them being thrust into starting life where economically they're entering the workforce at a disastrous economy, right? Oftentimes, if they've avoided debt, and many of them have because they're really smart, they're learning from the mistakes of past generations with student loans and predatory programs like that. But they're still entering at a time where, I mean, the living wage necessary to be kind of on your own, I'll put kind of quotes around that, is really difficult to make, especially at 20 years old. Mm. So imagine now you're hiring people and you hear this generation really get kind of critiqued all the time. It's like, well, I have some Gen Zers, or I have these really young millennials that work in my company and they don't show up to work on time and they take days off it's like, hold on. I know a lot of these young people. They're in their early 20s. And can you remember where we were? First of all, it was like delivering, nothing wrong with this, I was delivering pizzas. Mm. I was working at Blockbuster Video. I'm dating myself now.
Nice.
I also had an advanced degree in physics and math pretty early on. So I was like good in school, but I was not great at life yet. And that's no fault to like the people teaching me or raising me. I'm just saying, again, when we talk about childhood, it's not just we're saying like, you know, let 5 and 6 year olds be 5 and 6 year olds. Yes. Children's rights and children's being able to play and have a safe environment, super important. But teenagers and young adults, like, let's give them some space to be teenagers and young adults, right? I'm a big fan of that. I think they have great ideas. I think they have amazing creative possibilities, intellectual capacities. And I just wish we'd give them more space to take the reins, not right away. Like, come on, let them ease into things. Let them enjoy their youth.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. A little nostalgia here. I just made up a word, nostalgia. You know, thinking back, yeah, what it was like, but letting kids have that time to be a kid, letting anybody at any age just enjoy the moment, because Johnny, as you say, the force, the kind of like, let's get you moving, get you into the workforce mentality is that, you know, yeah, nothing wrong. Like you said, working at 14, I'm cutting grass up at my church cemetery at 15, you know, up there just doing it. And not because I wanted to get into the workforce, but because, you know, I wanted a couple extra bucks so I can go out and buy myself some new Levi's and different things like that at the time. Because you said, growing up blue collar, you know what? I mean, if I wanted new clothes, I went out and did a little bit of grass cutting at the cemetery, a little bit of grave digging here and there too. That's kind of weird. But, you know, you do what you can. But nothing about that was forcing me to grow up. It was, you know, again, learning some responsibility, learning some independence, but spending a lot of time still just being 15 years old. You know, friends would drive up to the cemetery and say, "Oh, Tim, what are you doing, man?" I'm like, "I'm just up here cutting grass all day by myself, hanging out with all the people that are real happy to not go anywhere other than where they were at that moment, you know." But that's, you think about that. Well, man, we got off on it though, Johnny. We're coming back though. Let's lead into this. So question, Johnny, horrible events, history, violence, sadness. What do we do when those situations present themselves in the form of current events? How do we as teachers address issues dealing with pain, tragedy, suffering, horrendous war, everything? Man, talking about what we're going to do when we actually have to teach controversial issues. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education, back after the break.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Where do grown-ups go in the water park capital of the world? Well, go to a water park. You'll find one nearly everywhere you go. Go relax in a cabana. Go golfing. Going for a nice dinner? Oh, go for the special. Go for the weekend. Heck, why not go for the whole week? Go to a show. Go shopping. Go tour a winery. Wow, we're really on the go. Say, I could go for a beer. Need a day at the spa? Go for it. Wisconsin Dells, it's go time. Plan your grown-up getaway at wisdells.com.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, I hear your voice, man, talking about teaching during those moments when things can be controversial, potentially frightening, potentially sad. Johnny, how does a teacher enter that moment when the current events seem to be something where we might even, and I'll put this out there real quick just to situate this. I remember when 9/11 happened, I remember teachers that I was working with, it very quickly were told, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. And that kind of set up a real unique conversation, Johnny, just saying. So just setting the stage right there. If I remember that 9/11 happened and the reality that came very fast was don't talk about it.
Yeah, Tim, I remember it very well, too. And to be specific, it was my first fall in a classroom, math teacher, high school, Detroit. I had turned 21, just recently turned 21 the year before that when I student taught, but I was brand new, geometry and algebra teacher, Detroit public school. You know, I loved my job, had a lot of energy and excitement. I remember it vividly. But Tim, I'll back up because I want to come back to this. Like we started in the first segment talking about, you know, we digressed a little, but really we didn't. And we got on this importance of youth and children. And we know historically, we've talked about it on this show. So listener, this is just a revisit and a recap of something. But Tim and I have talked about educational policy and shifts in schools in this country over decades. And one of the really, really, really dangerous things, and we've talked about high stakes testing, talked around like, you know, enforcement of zero tolerance policies and, you know, the continued, you know, racism and sexism that is rampant through our schools, even amidst great progress made in some of these areas.
Right.
But one of the things that we haven't explicitly nailed down, but we've hinted on, is that there has been a real attack on childhood. There's been a real criminalization of youth and a real expectation to continually put more and more and more on young people. And we've hinted at just because it's possible for a third grader to be reading at a ninth grade level doesn't necessarily mean that they need to be.
Oh.
Right? We'll get in there. Just because it's possible that you might be able to do calculus in fifth grade, you don't necessarily need to be, or you can be. Also remember that just because you're mathematically enjoying 12th grade math, that socially and emotionally, you're like even physically, you're not developed like a 12th grader. So everything at grade level isn't necessarily what we should expect of young people. And that gets me back to, what does it mean to be a teacher? What is the purpose of education? What does it mean to be a teacher? So for a lot of us, Tim, right, we've committed to being present around the development of young people into adulthood, right? So if that's as a math teacher, then like your specialty and your expertise is content in mathematics. But you're signed up also for the well-being of this young person while they're under your care to growing. Not necessarily like if you're a seventh grade teacher, not necessarily making sure they're ready for college in seventh grade, but that you're contributing to the ongoing growth where that young person is at. And part of that is in being real and present for them. And I know we get to have educators amplified on like once a week. Sometimes we talk even more. I know we, Tim, you and I, we get to text and talk with Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna all the time about being regulated as educators. So the job of being patient, committed, and bringing humility and regulation to the classroom. And I don't mean more rules. I mean
more rules,
calmness
no.
and balance, right? This is really important work, regardless of our expert content area. And I'll say that as a social studies and math teacher. But Tim, Well, I'll come back to your question. We'll always, so I say the purpose of being a teacher is to be present at that. You're an advocate for children and you're present and you're sort of in charge of a space where they can be kids. And I mean that if they're 15 year olds, if they're 18 year olds, if they're, I'll even extend that, it's young adults. They're still kind of in a not childlike state, but in a growing stage, 20, 21 years old. Tim, we teach college students. Mm-hmm. They're still young people. It is our job to be present at their learning, to foster that, to push them, to support them, but also to remember, to remind them, hey, right now your job is to be a learner and to be a kid and that there are adults. And this is where we got to meet on the other end. There are adults who are working around the clock on the important things that are probably stressing you out right now. Now, Tim, that's on the other end saying we got to hold up that bargain. Grown folks out there, you do actually need to be doing better at assuring young people that people are making good policies. They are trying to end wars. They are trying to fix the economy and make a better world for this place. They are addressing human rights and they are committed to a socially just future. I mean, we're not doing great at that as a society and as a world, but by and large, that's sort of the agreement. So, Tim, I would say always, always, always teach what's happening in the world. And that doesn't mean just the catastrophic events. Mm-hmm. When we're in routine of checking in, I have this this practice I did in my classroom all the time, and I teach teachers to do this. It's called what's popping, what's happening. You can call it whatever you want, but it's like, what's popping in your world? What's happening this weekend? Mm-hmm. What you guys do? We take a little bit of time at the beginning of each class to check in, to build relationships, to understand what's happening in the world. Maybe it's, hey, our football team won, you know, state championship on Friday. Cool. Or, you know, for me, I'll kind of throw it out there. This didn't happen while I was teaching, but now it's a reality for teachers in the Detroit area. The Lions are going to the playoffs. Okay, great. Right. Or the Detroit Tigers, you know, clinched they won the pennant. Okay, great. Hearing what's going on in their world, or homecoming is coming up in a couple of weeks. You know, it's the good, it's the mundane, it's the everyday check-ins. Maybe they want to tell you about Dragon Ball Z. That was a big one when I was teaching and I'm dating myself. You know, or Pokemon, and I'd be like, oh God, I know the least amount about this, but I'm present and I'm listening and I'm glad that they're sharing, because those daily check-ins on the mundane build relationship that says my teacher is here for me, cares about me, wants to know about what's happening in my world. Well, that's one credit for, hey, I'm going to also ask you to be learning some math today, right? Like we got some business to get to. But we also going to recognize your humanness and your connection and the different things you all love and have on your minds right now. And sometimes that's scary things that we saw on the news. Sometimes that's really difficult stuff that our nation is going through or that's happening in the world. So when you do a daily ritual, or when you build your kind of teaching around caring about what's happening in the lives of children and bringing what's happening in the world to their discussion, to them expressing what they're thinking about, what they're feeling, what their questions are, and I'll emphasize that, what their questions are, it makes it a little bit easier, Tim, to deal with the big things. And certainly listeners out there know our country, we're going through some big things right now.
Maybe we won't do so much about a tragic event. It's not that big of a deal if every day we're doing that regular checking in, talking about that. I know, Johnny, I used to do that all the time too with my students before I'd start anything. I think that's just the way you enter in. How's it going? What's happening? What happened over the weekend? What are you doing? What is it? Because you're creating that relationship so that having a conversation in a classroom and a give and take it just becomes a flow. And so even then, on those days when something potentially horrible or something traumatic or even something incredibly off the walls exciting happens, it's not as disruptive in that sense, because it's a relationship where we're always intervening and talking and sharing our experiences, so that these things aren't this moment where, uh-oh, we're going to have to go off on the side and talk about this in a very specific way. No. It just comes up. It's natural. And in that natural state, we're going to have lots of opportunities to really break it.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's no end in sight for Wisconsin's nursing shortage. At least that's according to the Department of Workforce Development. Two of its prediction models forecast that Wisconsin could have as many as 19,000 too few nurses by 2040. A new study recommends states take a public health approach to legalizing marijuana. The American College of Physicians says it would consider the effects of legalization on communities, not just users. The college's David Hilden.
States that legalize cannabis should consider, what framework are you giving for marketing, for advertising? What safeguards are in place for the content of your cannabis? What about the effects on our roadway?
Cannabis is illegal for recreational use in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The U.S. Open Chainsaw Sculpture Championship is underway at Carson Park in Eau Claire. According to a WQOW report, the event will feature carvers from around the world from Thursday to Sunday, turning 8-foot logs into works of art through the weekend. Spectators will be able to enjoy live music, food, and auctions as they watch the artists get to work on carving their masterpieces. Tickets for the event cost $18 per person per day, or $25 for the whole weekend. Kids under 12 can get in for free. The man convicted for fatally stabbing a teenager on the Apple River in 2022 has been sentenced to prison. Nikolai Mew was convicted of first-degree reckless homicide and four counts of recklessly endangering safety following an 8-day trial in St. Croix County. On Wednesday, he was sentenced to serve a total of 20 years in prison and 6 years extended supervision. Mew was arrested following the July 2022 incident where he stabbed five people on the river, killing 17-year-old Isaac Schumann in the process. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There will be no major strike again in Hollywood thanks to a settlement between the Teamsters and the studios. Variety reports that despite making aggressive demands, the union walked away happy with modest increases that more or less match the increases seen by the actors and writers, or SAG and AFTRA. The union is said to be breathing a sigh of relief, and so are fans of movies and TV. What do famous people do when they run out of cash? They write a book, even though no one reads anymore. According to a soon-to-be-released book by Robert Jobson about Kate Middleton, King Charles said he is worried that Harry and his wife Meghan do not have any income, despite recent deals with Netflix and Spotify. According to Jobson, the royal family is worried Harry will write a tell-all and dish the dirt on the royal fam. Harry told Oprah in 2021 that Charles cut him off financially. Stand firm, Charles. Don't give that kid a penny of your royal inheritance. The actual physical act of signing those Netflix and Spotify contracts by Harry was probably the most anyone in that family has ever worked. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A lingering evening shower, then turning partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the low 60s. Sunny, hot, humid tomorrow, a high in the upper 80s to 90. Weekend highs stay well into the 80s with a chance of showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll welcome Batman, Matt Rothschild, our good friend, and we'll air the grievances. You're going to want to listen. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You always got to wait for that. The black flag, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education and rising above Johnny Lupinacci. We do it every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday here on Civic Media. It's Busted Pencils, man. And we are truly busting pencils with you all today. Great conversation, though, Johnny Lupinacci, talking a little bit, you know, about, you know, childhood and then kind of bringing this into the reality of checking in with our students on a regular basis so that the relationship we build with them over time is a more natural state as opposed to, hey, we're talking to you. And now as we enter into teaching, I'm going to change gears and you're going to notice. But it's like a flow. It's creating that relationship flow because there are going to be days then as you as a teacher where there are going to be moments of disruption. And that disruption could be life happens, and it could be as tragic for me as I remember 9/11. It could be that something horrible happens in the town you're living in that day. It could be something incredibly powerfully awesome. But that's when right. Those moments come, how do you step into that moment to help students make sense of what's happening during those times? And I said, you know, sometimes the reaction, and I get it kind of, but I know the reaction a lot of times when things are unsure is there's a tendency to say, hey, ignore it and just go on with teaching subject verb agreement because, you know, the reality of what just happened outside the window, just ignore it. Just ignore it because they're not ready. You're not ready. And just keep teaching, you know, past participle, you name it, diphthongs and all the other things that you're working on. No, you can't do that. So, Johnny, but how do we make that more natural?
Well, Tim, I think first of all, I get where folks are coming from on the don't do it, because there is a danger in being unprepared, and you can't be prepared for the unexpected all the time. Okay. And so one thing I will say is that it is a major mistake, especially if you're the kind of teacher who does regularly check in with your students and all of a sudden you're not, or you're saying, we're not talking about that today.
Right.
It doesn't model authenticity, realness. It doesn't model that you're a stable adult here for where they are. But I will say, you don't have to dive into it. Like, it's unlikely you'll have a really great lesson plan that day, thinking back to like the 9/11 teaching we were in the moment with, or thinking to like the kind of election result teachings then lessons that a lot of teachers have anxiety about anticipating for the fall, or the past year, like conflict in Ukraine and different things. Not every teacher has studied these things and has like that lesson ready to go. And I would even say having that lesson ready to go is not only unlikely, but also not really good teaching if you just insert it because it's happening.
Right.
And so what I would always recommend is that we take time, like if it comes up or when it does come up, and it could be something as simple as like, hey, there was just a pretty scary tornado that tore through the neighborhood last week, or any kind of event. I could say, hey, it comes up. And that's why I said, when you check in regularly with your students, you ask them what kind of questions they have. What are they thinking about? And these things come up and you might need to say, and it actually models really good, responsible teaching to say, hey, that's something I'm also thinking about. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be looking into it and I'm going to get some information together for us because we're going to be following up on that this week. All right. But for now, right, here's X, Y, and Z. And it's generally like, remember, we are safe. Mm-hmm. And there are adults around the world whose job it is to tend to this. Say if it's, say, a tornado, there are relief workers and there are firemen and there are, you know, healthcare workers who are working around the clock right now to make sure families and communities are safe. We are safe in our school right now. And that's usually true with current events. You know, if your school community is not safe, scratch this advice and, you know, do whatever the safety protocol is. But in general, most cases, we talk about you're safe. And there are adults who work around the clock to ensure that safety. But I'm also thinking about this. And I'm going to get information together for us. And we're going to follow up on this. We'll probably be talking more about this week. And I'll be checking in throughout class and throughout the week to make sure we're all feeling like how we're feeling and we're able to come back to this. And then as a teacher, right? You have to know, and I always talk about this, you have to know thyself. Part of being a good teacher is know yourself. We mentioned it in this show and in past shows, like being regulated, being calm requires a regular commitment. So in this day and age, it's really important that teachers, ahead of any crisis, have really good pathways and avenues of getting information. And that seems like it can be an overwhelming task. There's some great resources. We'll put them in the podcast description. We'll have them, you know, available for you. But like, how do you decide, like, where do you get your information from? And what's the criteria for navigating real-time information? Because as information, oh man, Tim, there it is. The bell, you know what the bell means?
It's I do.
As the bell rings, right as I was about to talk about where you get your information from. Right? Cue up the Beastie Boys, check your head. Where'd you get your information from, boy? But here it is, democracy in action. Every democracy in action, every show, every day we have one, is aligned to core democratic values. Remember, those core democratic values, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism are all values. Right, that define democratic citizenship and help us remember our responsibilities as democratic citizens. Today's democracy in action goes to every teacher, right? Every teacher out there who models all of these. I'll call you a patriot. Teachers out there who model core democratic values, whether it's checking in with your students on what's going on or building in practices to your routine to know thyself and where you get your information from. Right. And you bring it to your classroom in responsible ways that values life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, justice, the common good, equality, truth, diversity, popular sovereignty, and patriotism. Today's core democratic value, patriotism, democracy in action to all teachers who model this. Being a patriot means having a devotion to our country and to all those core democratic values in what we say and what we do, and especially for teachers and how we teach. Democracy in action goes to teaching. Teachers are the patriots on the front line of us all learning to be democratic citizens and to know what core democratic values look like and are in action.
Man, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, democracy in action, really bringing it home. Johnny, you know, I appreciate, though, too, when you talked about this in the wave, when going back to these moments when, you know, it's a tornado, it's a horrible event like 9/11. It's, you know, all these things. The reality, though, the potential of knowing sometimes, too, because I worry that some people might be listening to you and I talk and go, you should always be ready to engage this moment. And so when you made that comment of going, it's okay, though, to stop and say, we're not going to go into this at this moment. I need to get a little bit more information so that we can come back and handle this in the right way. You're modeling for the kids. You're not dismissing them because, hey, when something like that happens, the whole idea, you know, I said we saw this a lot of times during tragedy is don't do it. Don't talk about it. Don't act. Just move on. Keep going. Continue doing place value, continue doing, you know, the Charlotte's Web, just don't acknowledge it. Well, that's dishonest.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you have to then jump into it if you're not prepared, because in a relationship that you're doing, creating those connections, the ability to say then to your class, I acknowledge that there is something that's happening right now. I'm not exactly sure how to make sense of it at this moment. We're going to eventually get into it. Right now, we're going to have to take a little bit of a time out and not try to engage this because I need to spend some time getting, you know, you said, Johnny, right there, know thyself. I myself need to recognize when I am truly ready for this. And so I'm thinking that somebody's listening going, so they just said to not ignore horrific events, except they just said, now ignore them. No. We're talking about a balance. We're saying that if you're creating that relationship of trust, of camaraderie, of companionship, the ability then as a friend to say to your students, I don't have it yet. I'm definitely in relationship with you. I'm going to get some more and we're going to come back and we're going to get into this as best we can. I just need to make sure I'm coming at this from a standpoint where I'm not going to make you feel more trauma because, you know, and that's that sense too. And I know a teacher's out there going, yeah, that's exactly why I don't want to do it because I don't want to make things worse. We know you don't want to make things worse. We know that, but there is a way, Johnny.
Yeah, Tim, I agree with you, man. I love that. It's not ignoring to acknowledge. Acknowledgement is the starting point. And it's modeling really responsibility. And I really emphasize this to all the teachers out there. I think the sentiment of what you're expressing around building a relationship with students, whatever age, is really important. And it is akin to friendship. But a teacher-student relationship, to me, I always emphasize different. Like, I'm an adult. Yeah. And I regularly say this to students all ages. Like, I'm not your friend. And I don't mean that like I'm not here for you and I don't have your back and I'm not committed to your learning, especially as your math teacher. Like, I believe in you. I know you can learn math, especially geometry. We had callers call in and say how much they hated geometry class. And that's why I became a geometry teacher, because I too really hated one semester of geometry, then had a different teacher and loved it and was like, what? This is totally different. So I loved teaching geometry, but I regularly reminded students, I'm not your friend. It might seem like I am because I care a lot about you like a friend, but I'm an adult in your life. And what I hope is that 35-year-old you says, man, that guy really had my back. That guy really had my best interest in mind, even when he wasn't acting as my friend. And that meant that helped me with some disciplinary issues along the way. Again, remember, I taught high school. So high schoolers are supposed to push those boundaries. And so I was really clear about them. But Tim, to acknowledge something isn't to ignore it. And to not have an answer in real time is also modeling responsible reaction, regulated. Like, let's get the facts, let's get the information, and let's integrate it. And my responsibility is to connect it to content. So my stages, Tim, I brought it up a little bit. Anytime a current event happens, say like recently there was in our American history an assassination attempt on a electoral candidate. Right. So this was pretty big. This is pretty scary. Like, it's a reminder of gun violence. Students in classrooms all over this country already live with that reality and threat. Truly. So acknowledging like this is one, know thyself. Where am I at it? What are my reactions, my emotions? Two, where am I getting my information from? Do I have good information? I'm going to ask students what's happening in their world. What's going on? Of course, it's going to come up. Right. But I'm going to build from children's questions, and I'm probably almost always going to buy myself time by acknowledging what's going on and saying, hey, that is also something I'm thinking about and learning about, and we're going to be connecting to our learning this week. Now, teachers out there, you can relate to this. Part of our craft and the gift of being a teacher is that we have expert content knowledge. So I loved mathematics. I love geometry. I have a mastery level content knowledge of geometry and mathematics. That gives me a base at which I can say, oh, this week we're learning Pythagorean's theorem. As I'm thinking through examples of what we're going to do and teach, I'm seeing ways that math content's connected in strong ways to some of the things that are on the minds of my children, whether it be, you know, a recent episode of a show they're watching or anything. Like, you're connecting it to their culture or a current event. So when you have strong content area knowledge, again, I'm advocating for why it's so important that becoming a teacher involves deep knowledge of your content area, because it's from that base at which you can connect learning to real-time things happening, and it's not coming at the expense. It's not like we're saying, hey, we're taking a week off of geometry because there's a current event we need to do. It's my ability to connect those things. So know thyself, get good info, discuss with others, experts, lean on your knowledge base, build from children's questions and connect it to the content learning, and you're golden.
Man, busted pencils fully. Let it education talk. Educated educators truly talking education today. A little bit more when we get back on this whole idea. So, oh man, friendship now blew up my bubble. Got to come back and revisit that after the break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick thought about a word you may have heard recently. Shrinkflation. Shrinkflation is when companies give us less of something but charge us the same or even more. Cottonelle and Charmin toilet paper, Dawn Ultra dish soap, Crest toothpaste, Gain detergent, Hershey's Kisses, Reese's peanut butter cups. You are not hallucinating. There really are fewer Fritos in that bag because now it has 9.25 ounces instead of 9.75 ounces in it. Now, some U.S. politicians are talking about reining in these companies. In France, companies that shrinkflate food over there, they have to say so on their packages. You know, I'd love to see that over here too, just so I know what I'm paying for and I know when I'm paying less. If you want to help me and the millions of other Work Money members hold these companies accountable, join us. It's free. You can sign up at workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, talking friendship, relationship, teaching, know thyself, get good info, build from children's questions, so much there. How we deal with these moments, though, sometimes when, you know, yeah, the lesson on Charlotte's Web had to take a deviation because the reality of the moment occurred. And so how we step into that moment can really be the difference in the way kids kind of can make sense of sometimes really, really horrible, horrible moments. And Johnny, you made a comment that, you know, made me go, because I said, hey, you know, I approached them. They recognize the friendship. You're like, oh, yeah, wait, man, I'm not their friend. And then you know, during the break, we were talking about this from the standpoint, you're like, you know, like they knew Mr. L, you know, when they said, yo, I thought you were cool. You're like, okay, wait a minute, man. Rule. What's the rule? And all these 13-year-olds would be like, okay, he doesn't care if you don't think. And I'm wondering about that, though, too, as we come into this, because what about a kindergarten teacher who's with 5-year-olds? And how that comes across, and the way, you know, you're talking about 13-year-olds and then potentially 18-year-old seniors in high school, and realizing that, because every teacher who's listening, every parent that's listening, every student that's listening is probably putting what we're talking about into like that situation when I remember when I was a kindergartner and such happened. I remember when I was in middle school and that happened. We kind of get wrapped up in a moment in time when that. So when 9/11 happened, right? Who was it that you were teaching at that time? You said you were teaching in Detroit public schools. I was teaching freshmen and sophomores in teacher education in the State University of New York system outside of there, where a lot of my kids came from the Long Island, New York City area, and had to kind of grapple with that moment there too. So how I addressed these freshmen and sophomores in college was different than if they were 13, than when 2 years back when I would have been teaching second grade. I almost wonder how would I have approached that had I still been a second grade teacher when that happened, because they're different. 7-year-olds are different than 13-year-olds, are different than 20-year-olds, are different from kids who are from where something happened versus kids who saw something happening from afar.
Yeah, Tim, I mean, I think it's really important that you know your audience. And by that, I mean, you know the group of children that you're teaching, whatever their age group. In addition to knowing them, like what they love, what they're about, some of their like something about who they are. Right, is also understanding in general the development they're mm-hmm. at, right? So for those of us, when we learn to be teachers, we take courses in childhood development or in human development. We understand stages of development, and there are different theories, right? But you kind of understand what are some of the things that a second grade kid needs. And it's not exactly everyone, because kids are different. Just because they're born on a similar date doesn't mean they're developing on the same trajectory. But in general,
Right.
There's a base of knowledge there that helps you navigate this. So it is certainly, we call it like developmentally appropriate. So the conversation we might have in a second grade classroom is different than a conversation we have in a 10th or 11th or 12th grade classroom, because the students are at different stages of development. At all those stages, social learning theory is really important, and that's that we learn from our peers. And so we're looking to one another, and your teacher is kind of this gray area peer. It's this adult, but also that cares about you, and that in great context, like you said, has built and put time into a relationship that is akin to your social group, right? It isn't your social group, but it's akin to it. So that, and that's intentional. That's so that you're learning from your teacher. Your teacher is part of the community that you're in, but they also are an adult. And this is where it's really important, and good teachers out there know this. It's really important that you have a strong base from which you know thyself, that you have your friend groups, that you have your peers, that you, that that's not your students. And that's hard to do. I'm saying it. And of course, we're all like, yeah, that's easy. Remember, you're spending every day with 25, if you're lucky. Really, it's probably like 28 or 32 young people. And some, for some of us, if you're thinking about secondary education, middle school and high school, it's like 713-year-olds. Right. And so that's nobody's friend group, even their own. And that's developmentally where they're at. But I'm just thinking about this, you know, it's easier said than done. Sometimes we slip into the routine of that group kind of being, you know, each other's peer group. Remember, it's tough to be a teacher. So take time to make connections with your peers, to get good information, to make sure you're balanced, you're healthy, you're able to process these things, because it's not easy to navigate controversial topics in the classroom when you're also in them. And so that kind of time put in around good things, around scary things, around tragic things, that's all gonna be stronger and better if you have those kind of clear identities already formed and made.
Man, I'm learning something today, man. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, talking about relationships, talking about when we teach, when we should teach, when we don't teach, when we pull back, when we offer support, when we step in and say, no, not now, but maybe later. All of those, Johnny, it makes me think, go to just like, yeah, this is why teaching is a challenging intellectual profession, man.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll come back to, Tim, is thinking about, we're talking about remembering experiences like this. 9/11 being one. Another big one, Tim, we probably both remember, and listeners out there remember, is the Challenger.
Yeah.
The spaceship. I was in third grade. And so they wheeled the, you remember there was a teacher on a Challenger.
I was a freshman in college.
Big deal. Space and everything. And space camp was a huge part of the science curriculum. Not that we went to space camp, but we learned about like NASA and like space and the discovery of the, or like landing on the moon and all these different things. And so it was really also a big thing in schools. There was a teacher on the Challenger. And so that's another example, like a moment. Like, we were all watching live the Challenger explode in the classroom. Saw our teacher, you know, fight and hold back real emotions of tears and things like that. And so being prepared for the unexpected is part of it. How I'll end tonight, Tim, is it's easier said than done. So it's worth the practice. The other thing I'll really emphasize in this is that, you know, there is a lot we can plan for, and then the unexpected happens. So give yourself grace, you know, and keep up the good work out there, teachers, because being present and acknowledging what's going on and listening to children goes a long way. When you build from their questions, anything you do in your classroom is contributing to their healthy development. So keep up that good work, Tim. Always love having this conversation with you. We'll keep having it here on Busted Pencils. Remember, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can get their progressive beer. Back at you tomorrow.
93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer joins us from the recombobulation area. We learn more details about President Biden's efforts to free hostages held in Russia. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A lot of people, I think, are going to be seeing Twisters this weekend. I mean, the movie.
Welcome to Merlot with the Movies. So without spoilers, what'd you think?
I actually really, really, really loved it. When it came down to the science, what they were talking about, the tips and tricks, I was impressed. It really helps, too, with people that are scared of storms. If you do want the full effect, see it in theaters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.